the only reason any of us are blessed today, the only reason all these blessings are lavished upon your head of eternal life and the promise of forgiveness of sins and where you're going is because of everything that you've been taught in the New Testament. In Him, in Jesus Christ, you receive in the heavenlies every spiritual blessing.
Our God is the God of the impossible, the Savior of the unredeemable. And this truth comes out in the blessings and promises of Jacob to his sons as he prepares to die. Hi there, and welcome to Abounding Grace. Join Pastor Chris Gordon today as he explores Genesis 49 and the amazing grace and mercy of God in Christ to you through these blessings that we see here that Jacob bestows upon his sons. The last days, according to Jacob, Genesis 49, 1 through 28. Here's Pastor Chris.
Your father's son shall bow down before you. Judah's a lion's cub. From the prey, my son, you've gone up. He stooped down and crouched as a lion, as a lioness. Who dares rouse Judah? And you say, what in the world is that? What is the one thing that we saw from Judah that we saw from nobody else? Remember what happened? Reuben's sin. It says Jacob heard about it. That's all it said. When Reuben did the sin and Jacob heard about it, 40 years almost to a T, absolute silence. Reuben demonstrated nothing. It was Reuben who tried selfishly to keep Joseph alive for his own purposes. No repentance. I didn't see faith. Simeon and Levi, silent after their sins. Nothing. I mean, nothing. Actually argued. But something was different about Judah, remember? Remember Judah. Judah was so remarkable in this whole thing. After his sin was exposed with Tamar, something happened. And remember what happened? The first thing he said was, "You are more righteous than I," he said to Tamar, "because I didn't give my son to her." Judah never wanted to kill Joseph. He was the one that when the whole test had come down on them and they were caught, he was the one that led the brothers. And remember what he did? He offered himself as a substitute for Benjamin because in love for his father, he did not want to see his father suffer. And the highlight of his life, this great sinner, the highlight of his life was when he said this before Joseph, "How shall we clear ourselves? God has found out the iniquity of your servants. We're guilty. We're guilty. Here we are at your mercy. I can't do this to my father. I'll intercede. Put me there. Send Benjamin back. I don't want him suffering." What do you have? You've got the gospel story. The worst of sinners with the single great broken and contrite heart that we see from these sons. The believing heart. And gets the most remarkable of all blessings. As I studied this, I thought, it's everything God's after from us. A believing heart. A turned heart. A confessing heart. And I think Jacob looked at his son and said, everyone needs to understand this throughout history. When you study Judah, you need to understand this throughout history. History needs to consider the kind of broken and contrite heart God loves and he'll never despise. I don't know if we think enough about covenant curses. But God did say to Abraham, "I'll bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you." You have here the outplaying of covenant curses and blessings in history. That's what he's talking about, how that's going to take shape. And if you ever thought about the tragic outplay of the tribe of Reuben, you know, he was the one who summoned up, who Korah went to summon up in his rebellion. It was Reuben and Levi, the leaders of Reuben and Levi that headed up the Korah rebellion against God and Moses. It's a sad story if you study that tribe of shrinking and shrinking and shrinking and shrinking to nothing. Simeon and Levi, Neither of these tribes were given portions in the land. Simeon dwindled out of existence, and Levi was forbidden to have an inheritance in it. And I can't help when I come to the New Testament and I see this outplay of curses, and the New Testament says that many did not enter because of unbelief, that this is what the outplay looked like. And as Jacob looked forward to the development of Israel, this was going to be the struggle of Israel, isn't it? Would they turn to their God? Would they love their God? Would they confess their sins? What would they do with the law when it was published? Would it be a means of their own righteousness, or would they humble themselves, bowing the knee, and look to the one that is provided for their answer to their misery? And at this point, I think it's important to ask, well, what does our life show? If that's the struggle of history, it's our struggle. It's the struggle of whether we believe or are hardening our hearts and turning our hearts away from Him. And the first place you go with a text like this is God puts before you the greatest of sinners, the greatest of sinners, and you don't see that kind of heart. You see a broken and a contrite one. And so this was very strategic on Jacob's part, as he's illustrating the principle of what he learned about rights. Think about rights. We're all about rights, birth rights. Judah didn't deserve this. The unconditional promise to Abraham here comes out. Remember when Judah was born, Leah rejoices and names him Praise, which this is the one through whom the victory would come. His name meant it. And all of history anticipated it. And notice the language. All of your brothers shall praise you. Your father's children shall bow down to you. And he likens him to a lion. You know, Judah was the largest and the most powerful tribe in Israel. Right after Joshua died and they're entering, remember, the children of Israel asked in Judges chapter 1, who will go up first against the Canaanites and fight? The Lord says, Judah goes. Judah goes. Spotlight throughout history. Judah's a lion. And then he adds to this blessing something so remarkable in verse 10. A scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet. Remember, a scepter was a golden staff that kings would hold. Power and dominion symbolizing those things. From Judah will come kings. Do you remember what God promised to Abraham? Kings will come from your body. You're a lion, Judah. You're going to have a scepter. Warrior kings are coming from you. And where do you see that take shape? Now, David was the son of that Ephratite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, who had 8 sons. David. In the midst of this, he says something that is stunning. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until tribute comes to him. And to whom shall be the obedience of the peoples? Binding his foal to the vine, and his donkey's colt to the choice vine. He has washed his garments in wine, and his vesture in the blood of grapes. His eyes are darker than wine, and his teeth whiter than milk. Verse 10 is one of the most debated verses in the whole Bible. Notice it. I think every translation here has a little mark by verse 10. Yeah, you'll see it. A little number. Until tribute comes to him. It's really fascinating. The ESV has a little number there, and you'll see alternate readings. The old King James knew something was being said here, and they didn't know what to do with it, so they just left it, and they left it with the Hebrew word Shiloh. So you'll notice in some of the old translations that until Shiloh comes, but nobody knew what to do with that. It means that word, which to him? Which to him? A prophecy about a coming one, which to him the scepter belongs. Comparing the Septuagint and looking at all these things, here's what it would read. The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs. It's powerful. Someone's coming from you, Judah. and the one coming from you, the scepter will never depart. Everything will find fulfillment there. And his kingdom's not going to have an end. He will rule. He will set captives free. He is a king of peace. He will bind his donkey. Well, sound, you know this. His eyes are darker than wine and teeth whiter than milk. You know who this is. It's Christ. Jacob's speaking of Christ. And how much meaning then can you imagine when on the cross, here the king had come and he denies himself, and then as he's hanging there dying, they put up over the cross an inscription, King of the Jews, to fulfill and say, this is the one Jacob was talking about. What did Jacob see? The blessings of the covenant made with Abraham, eternal life, forgiveness of sins, all things would come through this one right here. He's the beacon. He's the light right in the middle of this. But I want you to think about this. The longest blessing is reserved for who? His favorite son, Joseph. Look at verse 23. Talks about Joseph being fruitful, his branches running over the wall. Listen to this. The archers bitterly attacked him, shot at him, harassed him severely, yet his bow remained unmoved. His arms were made agile by the hands of the mighty one of Jacob. From there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. By the hand of God, your father, who will help you. By the Almighty, who will bless you with blessings of heaven above. Blessings of the deep that crouches beneath. Blessings of the, notice this, of the womb. Blessings of your father are mighty beyond the blessings of my parents, up to the bounties of the everlasting hills. May all of these blessings be on the head of Joseph and on the brow of him who was set apart from his brothers. You may not have realized it, but last time, what he just did to Reuben right here, when he stripped the birthright away, remember last time one of you had walked up to me and says, I don't understand why Joseph or why Jacob grabbed Joseph's sons and says, these are mine. The rest are yours, but these are mine. Do you know what happened? Right then and there, he gave the birthright to Joseph and his sons. Stripping it from Reuben, the birthright went to Joseph and his sons. They're mine. That's who gets the birthright. May the God of Abraham, said Jacob, and Isaac, he invoked right there the Abrahamic blessing. May he bless these lads. Let my name be upon them and make my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Listen to 1 Chronicles 5. The sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, for he was the firstborn, but because he defiled his father's couch, his birthright was given to the sons of Joseph, the sons of Israel, so that he could not be enrolled as the oldest son, ripped away from Reuben. Though Judah became strong among his brothers, and a chief came from him, yet the birthright belonged to Joseph. Takes the birthright, rips it away from Reuben, gives it to Joseph. He rehearses the story. This one was assaulted by his brothers, yet he remained strong. There is the shepherd. There's the stone. Every blessing that I have is on his head. He carries them. And you say, wow, what is this teaching us? Here's what I come up with. In the entire Old Testament, there is no figure that shows us the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ more than the life of Joseph. In the Old Testament, I just don't find it. Genesis begins with this fall, this first Adam, and then ends with this figure, and there's nobody like him. I don't even find sins recorded of him. He was a sinner, but I don't find it recorded. Why is it doing this? Jacob understood something, that ultimately the birthright belonged to the son of God's choosing. A righteous son. A son who would become a servant. A son who would be separated from his brothers, who would be raised up as the savior of his brethren. Here's where it all comes together this morning. From Judah he comes. From Judah he comes. The amazing truth of our gospel is God promised an answer to us. God didn't leave us in our misery. And he promised a son to Abraham, the seed who is Christ. But that one would come from sinners. That one would come from the Judas. But when all the brothers looked back at Joseph, and when all the brothers looked forward, and they studied the life of Joseph, they saw what that son would look like. A servant among his brethren. Every blessing's on his head. All blessings come through him. And it's because of this larger story that would unfold at the end times, Jacob says, in the last days, all of you, my sons, will be blessed. This is a literary masterpiece to close this morning. Why do I say that? Look at the diagram in your notes. Jacob says, gather my son. Gather my sons. And then he gathers all his sons around him. And notice the structure of this morning. Do you see it there? Notice the structure of this. He gathers all of the sons first in order of Leah's sons. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Zebulun, Issachar. And then Jacob blesses Bilhah, first son, Dan. He doesn't do the sons together. And then the center of this, he blesses Zilpah's. That is, you understand, Leah's maid, Gad and Asher. Then he blesses again Bilhah's second son, and then he blesses Rachel's sons, and then you have him gathered to his people. The centerpiece there is the most of the insignificant of sons being blessed. The son of the woman he didn't love. The sons of the maid of the woman he didn't love. They're the centerpiece of blessing, receiving the blessing. And why do I raise that point? It's the most insignificant of sons, here is the point, that God wants you to understand. He cares about and he loves and he blesses because of the son that's coming. The only reason any of us are blessed today, the only reason all these blessings are lavished upon your head of eternal life and the promise of forgiveness of sins and where you're going is because of everything that you've been taught in the New Testament. In Him, in Jesus Christ, you receive in the heavenlies every spiritual blessing. It's the only basis. Jacob saw that. His sons were failures. And the beauty of all this is that the ones who received then, if you go throughout history, no land, Levi, God redeemed that, and God says, I'll be your portion. The unloved sons of Leah, Simeon, here's what happened to Simeon. The inheritance of the children of Simeon was included in the share of the children of Judah, for the share of the children of Judah was too much for them. Therefore, the children of Simeon had their inheritance with the inheritance of that people. Blessing to every son here, all in anticipation of the coming of Shiloh. Now I close with this thought. I want you to turn to Revelation 7. When John looked up and saw the fulfilled number in heaven of every last one who was there, guess who he mentions? The 12 tribes. All their names are listed in Revelation chapter 7. Do you see it there? And notice there that that as he mentions them, John then says right after that, all these multitudes I saw in heaven that I could never number. I could not number them. There were so many there. This is right after the 12 tribes. And the imagery here is, in the 12 tribes, they all, the multitudes, were blessed. Guess what John saw there in Revelation 7? You. He prophetically, he saw in the future, you standing there in glory, in white, clad in white, worshiping God. all of it there following the listing of the fullness of the 12 tribes of Israel. Who's the first one mentioned there? Judah. Marvelous, isn't it? Notice the order. Judah's the first one mentioned. And so here's my closing this morning. The Lord showed you at the beginning of Genesis what he promised. He closes the Bible showing you it's all fulfilled. Not one of them was lost. They're all there. Every last one of my children, from the least of them to the greatest of them, and the least of them made it into the greatest. And what an encouragement. The question I close with then is this. You have a long struggle of Israel in the scriptures. Many of them were cursed because they did not believe. I hope that's no one here. Look at the life of Judah this morning. The worst of sinners in this bunch. Repentant. Turned to the Lord. In faith, believed the promises, humbled himself before his God, and God says, I want you to look at him throughout history and look at him standing at the front of the line in Revelation at the end. That's the son. That's the heart. That's the contrite spirit I'm after from you. You who believe. For he's told us that the least in the kingdom, whether you're a Gad or an Asher, a little house mom who struggles with importance, whether you're whatever, the least in the kingdom are the greatest in his kingdom. And he loves you. And so may we all come to the Lord with that kind of belief and trust. And remember what he showed us in this list here of what he's after. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ.
Well, it is our prayer that you know and live out this truth, that you too are folded into the blessings and promises that we have explored today here in Genesis chapter 49. Now, you've been listening to Pastor Chris Gordon here today on Abounding Grace. Questions and comments are always welcome. In fact, if you have a smartphone, simply access your voice memo app. Leave us a question. Don't forget your name and where you're calling from, and then email it to us, questions@agradio.org. We'll do our best to get Pastor Chris to answer it for you here on the program. Praise reports are welcome as well. Again, questions@agradio.org is where you would email your voice memos. And if you wish to write to us or give us a call, you can reach out to us a couple of ways. First, as always, our website, agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Or give us a call, 888-504-8805. You know, we have a lot of friends who have come alongside of us financially and prayerfully, committing to partnering with us that this program continues on this radio station. It's our prayer that you would join that growing list of friends and Abounding Grace Radio family members who are concerned about this broadcast, are encouraged by it, and committed to seeing that it continues on this radio station. If you are, please contact us today. No gift is too small, no gift is too large. Whether it's a one-time gift or a monthly gift, it all makes a huge difference as we continue ministering the gospel here on this radio station. Reach us at 888-504-8805 or agradio.org. Well, let's close out our time together today. Once again, here's Pastor Chris as we do so with a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, thank you for your marvelous blessings in him. And that throughout history, you fulfilled your word. You did what you said you would do. And that you've even showed us the end. You've even showed us what it looks like in heaven. You've even given us a snapshot of future glory. And there stands the tribe of Judah, the one whom the lion of the tribe of Judah came and fulfilled all righteousness for us. And in him we have every blessing in the heavenly places. May we respond with the kind of trusting, humble, broken spirit that loves you, that believes, that rests in Christ, in Shiloh. And we believe and we trust that on that day we will all be standing there, holding those palm branches decked out in white, praising our God who is faithful to the promise to Abraham that in him all the Gentiles of the earth are blessed. Here we are, O Lord, a blessed and full people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday. We worship at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. at the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. You can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.